Well, hey there. This is Jim, and I was just thinking. I have a rule that I never run outside if the ambient temperature is less than 20 degrees Fahrenheit. That's minus 6 for our friends who speak Celsius. I've never been a fan of the cold. Even as a child, when the cold meant building snow forts, sledding, and snowball fights, I only tolerated it because that's where my friends were. TV in the 70s wasn't half as interesting on a snow day as it is now with over 500 potential channels of content to choose from. Back in the day, cable TV meant just that, a box with a cable that was connected to your TV with an A-B switch to choose the top row of stations or the bottom row, and then 10 individual switches to make your selection from the 20 channels your subscription came with. Yes, 20 channels by today's standards is small. But your only other option was to break out the rabbit ears. That's an antenna, by the way. And try your luck with the free TV broadcasts in your area. Unless you lived near a large city, you were lucky if you could pick up 4 stations, no matter how much tinfoil you added. As I was saying, I've never been a fan of the cold. This is somewhat bizarre, as I was born in Wisconsin, not a state that's a stranger to the cold. My sister, on the other hand, was born in Mississippi. I've never liked the cold and always preferred summer, and she has never liked the heat and would much rather a 20-degree day than a 90-degree day. One of the things I've noticed as I get older is my number of war stories about the miserable weather that I dealt with as a child or a young adult is at inverse proportion to my ability to deal with the miserable weather I have currently. I can simultaneously wax philosophic about how tough we were when we walked to the bus stop on a day that was going to see 6 inches of snow and an average wind chill of minus 5, that's minus 20 for our friends who speak Celsius, and at the same time refuse to go outside to run when the temperatures were below 20 Fahrenheit or minus 6 Celsius. That's not to say I've never run under 20 degrees Fahrenheit. I've done it several times. Each time, I didn't enjoy the experience and vowed to never do it again. In the past several years, I've been very good at sticking to this no running outside if it's under 20 degrees Fahrenheit law. In the past 2 years, we haven't had that many days that refused to go north of 20 degrees. In fact, last year I think we spent the majority of our winter in the 40s. I've also had the insurance policy of a treadmill in the basement. If it was a running day and Mother Nature was having a temper tantrum, no worries. Just put on some shorts and do the workout on Satan's Sidewalk to one of my many playlists. This year, though, my insurance policy has expired. My treadmill had a major electrical malfunction in the fall, and all I got to show for it was a momentary smell of ozone and a machine that will be getting hauled away by the Got Junk people in early February. With no squirrel wheel to fall back on, the choice to run or not comes down to whether I want to brave the current conditions or not. This week had other contingencies as well. On Monday, we got hit with our first snowstorm of the season. I say storm because last year we received a whopping 3 inches of snow for the winter. So we're primed this year for a less than spectacular winter show to be fast-tracked from a flurry to a storm. We received 3 inches of snow, and in classic Pennsylvania fashion, we let it get ahead of ourselves and get out of hand, so the roads were sheer mess. Growing up in central New York, I know that 3 inches of snow is nothing to fear, but it is if your municipalities have no plan to start plowing until there's 3 inches already on the ground. I could go off on a whole tangent about the abysmal snow removal in PA, but I won't. I'll just say that if you start plowing after 1 inches on the ground and you continue until the snow stops falling, you can easily handle up to 6 inches of snow at a time. I grew up watching this in action every winter in central New York. It was only when 7 inches was supposed to fall that school, work, or any other plans got rescheduled. That being said, I live in PA now, and our roads were a mess. I passed on my Tuesday run, as it always takes 48 to 72 hours before my country roads are safe to run on. This snowfall was definitely going to be on the 72-hour side before the roads had a higher ratio of dry patches to ice. Then, round two showed up. On Thursday night, and all day Friday, we got another 3 inches of snow, followed by the same lackluster snow removal. This meant on Saturday I had a choice to pass on my third run out of four for the week, or brave the conditions and at least get half my runs in. I chose the latter. Saturday arrived with a boatload of sunshine and a degree for each of my 10 toes and the fingers on one hand. It also arrived with a wind chill of 5 degrees. That's minus 17 for our friends who speak Celsius. So the choice was to either ignore the self-imposed statute regarding minimum temperatures for running, or finish this week of running with a whole one day. I reminded myself that I've done stupider things on a bet, or to be quite honest, to impress a girl, and I got my running attire ready. I knew when I stepped outside, to quote a Judas Priest song, I was going to be breaking the law, breaking the law. It was definitely under 20 degrees, but I've done so well since I got back from my post-bird in hand illness that I needed to at least split the week. I should have set my watch to trail running, though, because of the road conditions. Half-assed snow removal had left frozen tire canyons and patches of glare ice along my intended route. To be somewhat safer, I put on my Ultras, or as my buddy pronounces them, Altras, Lone Peak trail shoes. They have a tread on the bottom that is every bit as aggressive as a mob at Walmart in search for one of the lone Valentine's Day Stanley 40-ounce tumblers left on the shelves. Because of the conditions, I decided I was going to take it slow, short steps, and making sure I put my feet down flat in order to improve my footing. The sky was a brilliant cerulean blue, and the sunlight reflecting off the landscape of snow was blinding. The one thing I will concede to winter is the quiet. With the exception of the wind, it was absolutely quiet. Such lack of sound almost manifests a presence. It was as if, because of the vacuum created by the lack of noise, something had to fill the void, and that something you could feel. I was halfway down the road I call Breakfast Meat Boulevard when I realized I wasn't uncomfortable. I'm sure that heavy-duty Under Armour tights, two long-sleeve shirts, Under Armour winter hoodie, Under Armour beanie, and Icelandic gloves had something to do with it, but nonetheless, I was not miserable. I made my way up the last hill until my right on the Ridge Road. No sooner had I made the turn than it hit me. What hit me was the 15-mile winds screaming out of the north-northwest. What also hit me was the realization that until that turn, these winds were somewhat deflected by the terrain, and the remaining wind had been at my back. Now it was smacking me in the face, and it would continue to do so on my way back up Breakfast Meat Boulevard. I had done a good job, though, of covering my skin, with one lone exception, my face. One of the things I love to do in the summer is go out for ice cream. There's nothing like an ice cream on a hot summer day. We're fortunate to have a lot of great ice cream shops in my area. This will likely be a topic for a future episode, but for today, we'll leave it alone. The only downside to ice cream in the summer is if your enthusiasm is such that you hork down your frozen treat too fast. That happens. You experience the sensation of your sinuses closing tighter than Iron Mike Tyson's fist. What actually is happening is the pain receptors in your mouth or your throat are sending a signal along your trigeminal nerve to your brain. You feel the pain in your head, but it's actually a referred pain from either your mouth or your throat. This is the all-too-common ice cream headache. As I started down the Ridge Road, I didn't get too far before I had a bouncing baby ice cream headache from the cold air hitting my exposed face. I fought it off as long as I could, but just past the silos that are on the road, I understood that in regards to my self-imposed temperature statute, I fought the law, and the law won.